we bring before you all those people who have just been on our minds. And Lord, we ask you to be with them and with the peacemakers this day. Amen. Please take a seat. It's good to see you. Good morning. If you've not met me before, my name's Paul. I'm one of the curates here. I'm actually going to read a third Bible passage this morning, but you'll be pleased to know it's only one verse. It's a verse from Amos chapter 5 and verse 24. It says simply, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Let me read that again. "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Book of Amos is a book in the Bible you may not have ever noticed. In fact, when the name Amos is said, you may think that the only Amos you've ever heard of is an old guy in Emmerdale, or previously Emmerdale Farm. Amos from the Bible was actually a farmer from a village called Tekoa, in the north of his land of Judah, just bordering Israel. He was an ordinary, everyday kind of worker, but he was being called by God to a public office, to be God's prophet, his mouthpiece. There was a political divide in the land at the time, resulting in a northern and southern kingdom. And so God was sending Amos into the northern kingdom. This would have been a bit like somebody in northern England going into Scotland to tell all the people why they're doing things wrong. I hear a few hisses. The overall message throughout this record of Amos is that verse, Amos chapter 5, verse 24. It sums it up well. "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." There was a widening divide in the world between rich and poor, between power mongers and peacemakers. Justice and righteousness should have been in the land, but they were not. In the Bible, justice and righteousness go hand in hand, and so it's maybe not quite right to try to define them differently, although I apologise, I'm going to have a little go. In one sense, justice is more about conforming to God's will in our land, in our society. And righteousness is a bit more general. It's about following God and living for him and his standards. At the most simple level, this would mean loving God and loving our neighbour, loving each other with everything that we have. However, of course, people don't always want to conform to God's will, and so their sense of justice becomes a little more fluid and difficult to define. And true and complete righteousness is often not even on the agenda at all. "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Of course, we all know there are so many occasions when justice and righteousness don't exist in our society and in the world today. The video we just played gives some vivid examples of that over the past 100 years or so. Of course, again this week, we've had the shooting down of a passenger airline, just the latest terrible example of a lack of justice and righteousness. What warped sense of a moral compass can possibly believe that shooting down a plane full of innocent people can ever be justified? There is such a lack of justice and righteousness. But it's not just out there, is it, in other parts of the world? So I went online yesterday and looked at some of our local newspapers. Macclesfield Express ran a headline, "Teenager Zane stabbed as, quote, punishment by angry drug dealer." Manchester Evening News had a headline, "Evil stepdad duped council worker in horrific child abuse probe." Liverpool Echo had a headline, "Robber points screwdriver at pregnant hairdresser's bump and says, give me your takings or I'll stab you." There is clearly so much wrong in our world, and it's even close at home. The message that Amos delivered to that society at that time is obviously as pertinent today in our society and our world at our time. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Earlier in Amos 5, we read phrases such as this: you trample on the poor, and you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. It's very graphic language, isn't it? Of course, people may not have been literally trampling on the poor, although they may have been, but it's easy to understand how they were doing so in a social sense. People were taking bribes to deprive the poor and others of justice. The rich were getting whatever they wanted and had no regard for how they did so. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. As we said, the video we watched highlighted some of those terrible things that have happened in the world. And I don't want to presume to understand what's going on in people's minds when they do those things. But it's easy for us to understand how a particular place, and living in that particular place, in a particular time, with the particular pressures that exist in that place, can cause people to think and subsequently act in a certain way. What we view as terrible, they may well have actually viewed as fulfilling justice. The problem, though, is that it's simply justice to them. And in enacting such justice, they excuse doing wrong. They omit righteousness. What about the Christians in Mosul, in Iraq? Over recent weeks, they've been ordered by ISIS to either convert to Islam or to pay an additional so-called protection tax, or they'll be killed. They were given a deadline to leave their homes and their area with just the clothes on the back. They were to leave everything behind, and then ISIS would come into their houses and take them and their possessions. If they didn't leave, they faced one of those three choices: convert, pay, or die. ISIS may well feel that they're getting some kind of justice, their justice in that land. But again, there's no regard for righteousness. Of course, people often try and say that it's religion that causes all these issues, but it's clearly not the case, is it? We only have to look at Ukraine to see that. People who've historically been from one place are in conflict with those from other places. For some reason, somebody has decided that denying shooting down a passenger airline will strengthen their cause, that they'll be more likely to get the justice that they seek. Again, I've no idea why. But again, we see that they've excused themselves from doing wrong. They've ignored any sense of righteousness. Why were atomic bombs dropped on Japan during the Second World War? Sense of justice? What about righteousness? Did that drug dealer in Macclesfield think that in his world, stabbing a teenager was him enacting justice? What about righteousness? Of course, the list goes on and on and on and on. People groups and individuals genuinely believing that they are bringing justice, but ignoring any sense of right and wrong, ignoring righteousness. But what about us? Do we seek justice and righteousness? In fact, maybe a better question would be, can we actually seek true justice and true righteousness? See, we have a problem too, that we are all products of our own society and culture. We actually have far less free will or free choice than we often give ourselves credit for. We've been fashioned in particular ways by our upbringing, by those around us, by our experiences, by the events in the world during our lifetimes and before, by a great many factors. If you do a little bit of research into the difference between the baby boomers and Generation X and Gen Y, we see that we're slightly different generationally. We are all products of our own society and culture. But what if any of those factors from our own backgrounds have led us to think or act in an unjust or wrong way? And we're so ensconced in our culture, we can't even see it. Who of us then can really define what is just and what is righteous, what is right and what is wrong. We're actually only partially sighted when it comes to justice and righteousness. We need somebody objective. We need somebody from the outside of our situation who's looking in. Somebody who understands the human condition, who understands the struggles of having many different types of people living together, and is able to maintain justice and righteousness themselves. Of course, that was the point of the video. The Lord Jesus, who came from heaven, lived as one of us, yet was able to maintain justice and righteousness during his life, and then died to set us free from our injustice and sin if we turn to him. It's he who rescues us. It's really interesting, actually, when we think about the cross. Here is Jesus being executed as a criminal after false charges have been brought to an illegal kangaroo court where witnesses cannot agree and where the Roman procurator lacks the courage to fulfill justice himself. If ever there was an injustice in the world, then this is it. But through the injustice of the cross, God's justice and righteousness prevail. Guilty sinners like me, like all of us, have the opportunity of finding God's forgiveness. Jesus takes the punishment, my punishment, upon himself. So justice is fulfilled. But righteousness is also fulfilled as I can go free to serve God in the world, to love him, to love others, and to seek his justice and righteousness. That's what the church has been doing for thousands of years, sometimes admittedly better at it than others. That's what Christians in Iraq, in Mosul and other places have been doing over the past decade or so, as they've cared for, fed and stood up for members of their own society, regardless of faith. They've sought justice and righteousness because it's God's way. Our two different readings, and the first reading we had from the psalm, a man called Ethan says to God, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. For Ethan and the people of his time, God's throne, his kingship, his rule, was built on righteousness and justice, so God could define these things. For the people of Israel at the time of Amos, it was still God who defines these things. In 21st century Britain, it is still God who defines these things. He is the only one who can objectively, from the outside of any culture, define them. And he's the only one who has always truly persevered for justice and righteousness, regardless of the personal cost. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So it's good for us to humbly realize our own fallibility and to look to God, to seek his wisdom and to learn about his justice and his righteousness. In Matthew 5, we read a good deal about the challenges of maintaining righteousness in the land. We had these words, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who want to see righteousness, and for that matter justice, and do what they can to see it in their land, they'll be honoured and helped by God. But we also read, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus, who was so willing to fulfil justice and righteousness that he fulfilled his own plan to go to the cross, calls us to seek justice and righteousness in our lives too, even when that's difficult. Seeking justice and righteousness, speaking out for it, can make us very unpopular. People often don't want to hear what's right and what's wrong, and they certainly don't want to be told that what they're doing isn't right. Anybody who dares to challenge them may receive some kind of retribution. Of course, the right message is not always what we want to hear, is it? The person giving the message may even get labelled as being narrow-minded or something along those lines because they're seeking what's right and they're not being swayed by the wide range of viewpoints that exist. But in our own British history, some of our greatest heroes have been people who've been narrow-minded and they've spoken against the popular public opinion of the day. William Wilberforce, Emmeline Pankhurst, just to name two, there are many, many others. Amos was giving such a narrow-minded but good and challenging message to the people of Israel. So much so that what he said was written down and has been used by other societies across the world ever since. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. A good challenge for the people of Israel, and at that time, and a good challenge for us today. To finish, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." With that in mind, let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would give us hearts and minds that seek true justice and true righteousness in our land and in our world. Lord, we are conscious that we are fallible in these things and we need your help. So Lord, would you please give us wisdom and give us courage to look to you, the one who knows these things best. Amen.